This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London. Together, living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
Right, so it's 15 years of celebrating the goodness of God. And so we put a video together. 15 minutes for 15 years of stories of how God has touched lives. There's just like a small percentage of people. There's so many stories. And along with it, we are launching sort of our new focus. The one is Come Alive in Christ. You can see these banners. Come Alive in Christ, and revival is now. So there's some of our focus areas. We are trusting just for people to come alive in Christ. So, let's play the video. Enjoy.
The human heart, made for worship, intricately woven together for intimacy with its creator. Every beat joining the symphony of praise to him. Yet the human heart is desperately sick, filled with darkness and defiled by sin and evil. Every beat drowned out by the world, constricted until there's no life left. The heart needs to be revived. And revival is now.
Our mission at Shofar East London is revival. To see hearts, homes, and cities come alive in Christ. As we celebrate 15 years of experiencing God's abundant grace as a church community, we rejoice in hundreds of stories of lives profoundly touched by the life-changing message of Jesus. Here are a few stories of God's profound impact on individuals' lives.
Revival to hearts.
Through adulthood, I started to have quite a few issues like depression and anxiety, a lot of hopelessness, just a very low self-esteem, things like that. So anyway, I had all these like combination of issues as an adult, and then I came to Shofar. That was about a year ago, and it's just been an amazing positive change in my life. I'm a completely new person, and it's just been absolutely, I couldn't say enough thank yous to the church for just, you know, helping me on this journey from letting go of depression, breaking free from anxiety, to now having peace, joy, and peace of mind. You know, I can go to sleep at night and it's peaceful, you know, because most of my adulthood was just actually having nightmares and just living in the past a lot of the time.
I struggled growing up. My dad wanted a boy when my mom was pregnant with me. And especially with everything that was going on in the family with the death, and he would be so much happier if I was that boy. You know, it started becoming deep set in me that I really should have been the boy. But God doesn't make mistakes. There was a moment in the Destiny Encounter where we were all in the front and we were praying for us. And I just, the next thing, I was on the floor, but I had a vision of there was fire around and there was a ladder. And I was climbing up this ladder, and I just remember climbing, and the next thing there was, but I was a boy. And the next thing I saw a hand out, and I grabbed the hand, and he pulled me up to him, and he embraced me, and I was a girl.
It was Jesus.
And then I became a girl. Yeah, so I'm really, really grateful.
So I went to Freedom Encounter. When that truth was dropped into my mind and my heart, God revealed that all these years that I've been lied to, and that it's just been something that it isn't even that deeply connected from when you're 10 to how you feel living your life. So God set me free incredibly.
And I remember him praying against spirit of anxiety and fear, and also just any bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness that I might have been harboring. And yeah, I just was filled with like just a sense of lightness again. And I know that I'd experienced the Holy Spirit in that moment. I felt so unburdened, and yeah, that intense pain just vanished, and I never experienced it ever again.
Do you yearn for a renewed heart, unblemished and whole? Jesus is the healer of broken hearts.
Revival to homes.
I was asking God, how are we going to do this? How am I ever? Because apart from the bullying, which did affect him, he's an introvert. He's naturally an introvert. And that bullying affected him was, and being told that he's dyslexic, that he might never read. And I'm like, no, boy, we are going to believe the Lord. But when the youth camp happened, like, even before it happened, we had to drag her to the youth camp. We had to literally, because he was excited about what might happen. Her, she was like, I don't have any friends there. And I prayed that night, and I said, Lord, you are making a way. And Lord, when they go there, we want to see a supernatural miracle. I said, God, I don't know what, but I want you to touch their lives. Because I was seeing her slowly dying. And I was seeing him in the middle of what is next. And at the youth camp, when we are taking them there, the youth camp, we're praying at home. And then I told their dad that, you know what, I want these kids to come back. God has to do something there. So the whole thing is happening behind the prayers we made. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit at the youth camp.
Yeah.
He got baptized, he spoke in tongues, and he prayed for other youth, that youth camp, to also get baptized. I mean, when they came back, I had these on fire kids.
So basically, for about 8-9 years, I was living on my nerves. So I was continuously having to watch my ex-husband's mood. So I was having to see, like, when he came home, when I kissed him hello, I would have to see whether he smells like alcohol, whether he had obviously check his eyes for substance, you know, whether I had to keep the kids away. So it was basically like I was just continuously having to worry about everyone else's feelings and keeping the kids safe. So it was a very, very difficult time. So people would walk into our house and they would say they could feel it was just a sense of peace that was there. I actually don't even know how to explain it, because we've all had encounters now with the Holy Spirit. We know what it feels like, and like we can talk openly to each other, we can pray together, our whole family is knitted. There's no uneasiness, there's no awkwardness, there's, you know, we're all on the same page, we're all growing together, we all love the Lord, and it's just made our whole family close. Like all the fruits of the Spirit you can see have developed in our house. I mean, the love that we've got for each other, the kindness that we share with each other. I mean, if I look at my kids with the younger ones, the way that they are with them, it's just like, it's incredible what the Lord has done in our life.
You know, church to me was a gathering of people that just, you know, they were just singing and clapping, and it was just a ruse to me, you know. The first time I came to church, I'll never forget it. The song that they sang was Open the Floodgates to Heaven, Let It Rain. It rained on me that day. You know, it was really good. I felt it. It was like fire in my heart. That was the moment I was like, okay, let's give this a chance. You know, I felt it. It felt good, you know.
In the first song, in the first line, it absolutely blew me away. I've never experienced God moving like that. And worship there was something special about worship. I can't remember having worshiped like that before.
Jesus stands at the door, ready to enter and restore your family. Embrace his presence, for revival is now.
Revival to cities.
And once you step in and you've been released from things like I have, like these migraines, and you've placed hands on people and you've removed demons from children, you can't stop there. You can't be like, okay, well, I got what I needed. Cheers, guys. Like, I'm out. It's something that sits on your soul, and you're like, now you have to get after it. You wasted this 10 years, for me, 10 years of my life, you know, just going down the tubes. And God has blessed me. So in turn, I need to bless others. And it's not just like, okay, I'm going to bless them with the word, or I'm going to bless them with one thing. No, if you sit down with someone, you need to be armed and ready to go. Like, you could be sitting there having a peaceful conversation. Someone starts doing flick-flacks in front of you, eyes go black, and you're like, okay, puppy, we on now. Like, we're going to pull this demon out. You can't let people suffer. And, like, I've suffered. And there's no way that I can honestly look at a person knowing that they're suffering and go, well, you know, I've already punched my ticket, I'm good. For me, it's just a personal choice. Like, I like extremes. So, yeah, I can't be sitting on the fence or in the doorway with my hand still on the handle. Like, you got to get after it. You got to give back what you've received, and tenfold.
So basically, at the beginning of the year, God laid it on my heart to say, Nicole, bring in my harvest. So I said, well, what do you mean? And then he said, start a prayer group up. So I started a prayer group up on a Monday and a Friday at lunchtime. And it's just to see how the lives are getting impacted at work. And not only that, it's just as I'm walking, God will say to me, Nicole, pray for that person. And I'll just go to that person and just say, well, God loves you, or whatever it may be. And I'm now asking God for words of wisdom so that I can go up to somebody and just say, hey, this is it. And this is what God's put in my heart. And then you just see their faces like, how did you know that? I mean, I don't know them from a bar of soap, or, you know, if it's customers or whatever it may be that's there. And just, yeah, how he's just working with me. And I've been so obedient. And I'm saying, God, please use me as your vessel. That's what I want, you know. But it fills me up as much as it fills somebody else up. And that's what I love.
Well, firstly, it's been such a blessing to be, you know, involved in traveling and going out to see the other churches in our body. And going there, I think the first one was in Wellington. And being immersed in that culture and also serving people on that level, speaking into their life, that has been one of the biggest experiences for me, highlights in my life, I would say. And when we went there, I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know how God was going to move. I just knew that, and I felt this sense that something big is going to, you know, happen. And on a number of moments on the weekend, God actually moved in a very, very powerful and significant way. And I happened to be the instrument that was used in that context. And that was just such an amazing experience. And yeah, that was, it's just when we were there and we had the opportunity to speak into people's lives and to prophesy over them and to, you know, partner with God in what he wants to see happening. There was major shifts that happened and major words that came out in those instances, and that was really, really big.
How can we possibly contain this incredible news to ourselves? Come alive in Christ and spread his love and truth to those around you. Revival is now. Here's to countless more years of transforming lives for the glory of Jesus. Awesome. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. Isn't it wonderful what Jesus is doing? He's alive. He's still changing lives. Yo, what a privilege. What an honor. I just realize, you know, just this church is really birthed of the Lord. It's a God thing, you know, and whatever is born of God cannot be overcome by the world. Amen. Jesus is working. His Holy Spirit is stirring. He's changing lives. And we're trusting the Lord for revival to hearts, homes, and cities. For many to come alive and then for through them to bring life to others. So I just want to shortly share a principle or two of what I believe the Lord is doing at this time. And then we're going to interview a few people with some more stories to give you a bit of the backstory of how things started here at the church. So we believe that revival is now. Okay, so dead religion is all about one day God's going to do something. One day, but not today. No real faith. Authentic faith is revival is now. God's going to work now. He's going to touch somebody now. He's going to heal somebody now. He's going to bring that breakthrough or that freedom or that salvation or whatever it is. Revival is now. Amen? Come on, say revival is now. Okay, we're trusting for this to be like an undeniable value of how we function. We are expecting God to show up now. Now. To touch somebody's life right now. So here's a beautiful principle in Matthew 14, verses 15 to 19. And we see this as like a large number, multitude of people that came to Jesus. And it's getting late at night and they don't have food and they are hungry. And it's always that God's heart is for the multitudes. All those who are actually desperate to be fed by heaven. And so it says there in verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Can you see the dead religion there? This is a deserted place and it is late and there's nothing happening here. Let's go home. God's doing nothing else today. This is klar. No. That's the earthly mindset. The heavenly mindset is always different. And Jesus reveals that thinking from heaven to earth, thinking from the ability or from God's capacity and ability. And so then it says verse 16, "But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.'" I love that. Jesus says, "You do it. You make a difference." A human earthly mindset is, "God, there's so many problems in East London. There's so many problems in our environments. Lord, we don't know how anything can change." And then God says, "You are the solution. Christ in you is the solution for the problems of this world." Someone that doesn't know Jesus, you can lead them to Christ. Someone that has sickness in their body, you can pray for them and the kingdom comes. Someone that needs freedom, you can bring that freedom. As Martin says, when they do flip, flick, flex. And you know it, Poppy, it's on. Then you bring it. Because Jesus lives in you. I love that. I love that boldness. I love that confidence. And that's what God wants to do in all of us. And we discover Christ in us, the hope of glory. The solution is here. Amen. Come on, say the solution is here. Christ in us. The moment you commit your life to Jesus and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God comes and lives on the inside of you. And then Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. You're the answer. Shine your light. Don't hold back." And so Jesus says there, "They do not need to go away. You feed them. You give them something to eat. You bring the answer. You bring the solution." And then it continues, where again they say, and they said, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's like, Jesus, come on, like, let me show you. We have nothing, okay? 5 loaves, 2 fish. There's nothing happening. And they're thinking like, oh, now we're showing Jesus. Now we're putting him in his place. And Jesus says, that's just enough. All I need is your little bit. They brought their little bit to Jesus. This is the glory of God. This is the power of God. We bring our little bit, and then he miraculously multiplies it, and he starts feeding the masses, feeding the multitudes. That's what God has done in this church. We bring our little bit, and the Lord blesses it. The Lord multiplies it. It's beautiful. But bring your little bit. Continues there. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. Massive miracle happens right there. I love it. I says there, he blessed and he broke and he gave. And I believe that's how God continuously works. We bring our little bit. What does he do? He blesses our little bit, and then he breaks. Okay? For me, that is the journey of dying to self. The journey over the last 15 years was laying down self, making sacrifices, humbling ourselves before the Lord, being broken in a healthy way. There's no longer me. It's no longer us. It's no longer ego. It's all about him. He blesses. He breaks when we partner with him. And then he gives, and his name gets glorified, and the disciples get blown away as the miracle happens in their hands. They're like, oh, I have my little bit, I don't know, and then it multiplies, it multiplies, it multiplies. So I want to encourage every one of us, let's bring our little bit. You have all you need to see the kingdom of God come. You already have it. You have your 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's more than enough. Plan from God's ability, not your lack of ability. Amen. Go on, say, I have all that I need. I have Jesus, and I'm going to release his life everywhere. Amen. In your work environment, in your home, with friends, family, wherever, whenever, shine your light. Let Jesus bless it, break it, and then give it. Amen. So, yeah, so Dion and Quibba, they're going to share a bit of the back. So you must thank this couple. You must thank that we are here today, because it's all their fault. So Dion is an elder in the church and worship leader. Quibba's on staff, and she runs the kids' church. And so, what, around 19 years ago, I'm going to give some of the backstory, but the Lord led them to start something in East London. So Dion, share a bit with us that what happened. How did the Lord lead you? What did you feel? What did you experience?
Yeah, so towards the end of my student career, I realized that I'm about to climb onto this conveyor belt and become an adult, and it's going to take you into a job, an industry, a community somewhere. And I realized that God had saved me from a form of religion where I assumed that I knew God and that I was serving him, when in reality, I actually had no real relationship with him, and it was me and myself and I that was on the throne of my heart. It was just a form of dead religion. And so as a student in Shofar Stellenbosch, I encountered the Lord for the first time. I was baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was just so thankful, and I wanted to do something with my life to say thanks to God, but I didn't know what exactly. But I signed up for an internship program that the church had as a postgraduate, and it was during that year that an engineering company phoned me, and it was in connection with an appointment that they wanted to make to the East London office. At that stage, it had no appeal to me. I grew up near East London, and I wasn't planning on coming back.
God has a sense of humor, huh?
Yes, he does. But when I mentioned when I just mentioned in passing this to one of the pastors, they said, look, the apostolic leadership team, they've been wanting to plant a church in East London for years now. And I realized, oh, hang on, here's something I can do with my life. And so I said to them, okay, so I'll say yes to the job if I get it, and then let's do a church plant. So practically what that looked like is as simple as that. I just said yes to a job, and I said yes to the commission from the church leadership, and we showed up or rocked up in East London having no idea how to start a church. I was 24, Kuba was 23 years old. It was a bit of a tall order to expect people to come and listen to us if we were going to start preaching. But we just took the first little step, and as we did that, God revealed to us what the next step should be. And that's been the theme throughout. So as we came to East London, we had the names of four others who had been in Shofar in Stellenbosch. We got them together, and as soon as we did that, God made it clear what our next step should be, and that was our journey. So I always say to people, if you've got a fancy car, you know, you just need to close the door gently with like you kind of made your finger to mark. But if you drive a Fuller, you know, you must slam the door, and it's fine. And I always say to people, if you stick up your hand and you say, God, I'm willing, He will speak to you loud enough for you to hear. You don't have to worry about whether I'm a fancy car or a Fuller. If you're a Fuller, God will speak to you loud enough. Just give Him your willingness and your obedience.
Amen. Amen. So I just love how, you know, that's how most things in the kingdom start. It's just having a sense like this is the next step, this is the next bit, and then God starts to multiply and bless, you know. So sort of that first few, two or three years, the church was like a fellowship. And then 2009, when we came like a full-time pastor, that's when the clock officially starts of a church. And we're just so thankful for you guys. So Kuba, from your side, those steps of obedience, how did you experience that season?
So yeah, my first step maybe was to obediently marry Dion. No, I very willingly married my best friend. Yes, and I suppose the next step was actually starting a kids' church, not of our kids, of the members' kids. just because that was a need of the church in that time, and we started at Lavender Blue meeting formally on Sundays because of them. So it's always been a priority for us to raise the kids in God's ways. Yes, we even had two teachers in that very small group, of which Sandra was one of our teachers. And yeah, something that really helped in those first few years was to have a wonderful friendship with Sandra, to just have a female friend as well who stands with me. And she's still, after 19 years, one of my best friends, together with Sonika. And something special I just want to mention was one afternoon after they have arrived in East London, Sonika and Andre, Sonika came there and said, I want to wash your feet. So here I was with little newborn Michal, and she had a big pregnant tummy with Vian, and she stooped down and she washed my feet. And just as they honored us and like handed over the baton of leadership, we handed it over to them. And I really felt loved, and I really felt appreciated in that moment. Thank you.
That's awesome. And I just want to honor you guys. I mean, they are still faithfully serving Jesus like 19 years later, which is just phenomenal. I want to honor you for your investment, your sacrifices, your friendship, your love. It's just phenomenal. So if any one of you, if you love this church, you know, just hug them every now and again and say, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for planting. Thank you for opening the way, preparing the way. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. Okay, my wife and my son, where are they? Here's my boy. So, when I look at my son, he's like a prophetic statement of the church, because when we were here for about 3 weeks, then he was born. And so we always like look at him to determine where's the growth of the church. And so at this stage, the church is like a young man. The church has been growing. It's like a young man. And I think we are. So if I prophetically look at him, I think we're still going to buff up a little bit as a church. But he's looking good. He's looking good. I'm happy with the progress. We're on our way. Okay, so Sonika, maybe share, take us back to when we came here in 2009. What? How did you experience the transition here?
Pastor the church in East London, and I was like, East London, where is that? You know, for me it was like it was so far removed from my plans and what I had in mind. And you know, I remember getting up early in the mornings because Andre kind of put the ball in my court. You know, what do you think, Sonika?
I was hoping she's gonna say no. I was like, don't want to do this.
I could see that he's drawn to this call. I could see that, but I had to really wrestle with the Lord. And I remember getting up early in the mornings, primarily just crying and saying, Lord, what are we going to do? I feel this. There's something coming, but I wasn't ready and I wasn't prepared. And after weeks of just really spending time with God, I just knew we have to do this. But it wasn't easy. It was a big step in faith for us. We had to leave many, many, many things behind. But, you know, I felt that the feeling I had when we arrived in East London was like I was a little plant being uprooted because my life was really upside down. I didn't know what was coming. But I felt like a plant being uprooted and being replanted in a natural habitat. For the first time in my life, I lived in a few places. But it was almost as if I just knew this is where I'm going to flourish. I knew that. And you know that scripture that says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared, this is what I experienced. Just getting to know the people in East London, falling in love with this place. This is home now.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, now awesome. And how did you experience that first few months?
So like Andre said, Vian was born 3 weeks after we arrived. I had an emergency seizure on the 24th of December, and not my idea at all. I was like, God, where does this plan come from? And, you know, just looking back, it's amazing for us, just Vian's friendship with Dion and Koba's son. You know, my due date was actually in January, and looking back, if he was not born in 2008, Vian and Michal would not have been in the same grade. So they grew up as brothers. And, you know, for us, just in spite of those first few weeks and months where it was tough, it was really difficult, I started praying a prayer and I said, Lord, please open my eyes for the beauty of this city. Because I knew I had to let go of, you know, Cape Town and the Western Cape. I had to settle. I had to plant myself here. And this is what God did. He opened my eyes for the beauty of East London and the people here and the Eastern Cape. And today I'm just so grateful that we said yes, because what we have received here far outweighs anything and everything we have left behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Yeah. And then any highlights over the last 15 years you want to...
Sure. So I always wanted to work with this man. I always had this dream to work with my husband. But I worked as an accountant for 11 years. And I had to wait for my dream. I had to wait for the right timing and the right opportunity. And 1 year after we moved to East London, God was gracious and the church has grown enough so that Andre could appoint somebody, you know, to help him. So I sent in my CV and I had an interview and he decided to appoint me. Hallelujah.
And she's been Employee of the Year every year since.
Thank you. So I'm living my dream. So for me, one of the most precious highlights of the last 15 years is just that God opened the door for me to do what I always wanted to do, and it's still what I want to do, and for me it's just the most amazing blessing. And something else that I just want to highlight, which is a bit of a it's not a specific highlight, but I think just working with you guys, our volunteers, our staff, the worship team, you know, just doing life together, doing church together. For us, it's not just a church. You guys are family. And for me, it's a highlight just to not feel isolated and lonely and, you know, like the pastor's wife. I feel this is family. And for me, it's been an absolute highlight. I think something else, also just our ladies' weekends over the years. We started in 2013 doing our first Awaken weekend. And it was a big step for us because it was us girls on our own, no technical support, no nothing. We had to do sound and worship and set up and everything. And just over the years, I've seen the girls and the women in our church grow, you know, doing these things. And for me, it's every Awaken event, there's many, many beautiful moments in this church. But Our Ladies' Weekend for me has just been really, really special. And then the last highlight I want to share, it's got all to do with this handsome young man next to me. You know, for us, Vian has been a gift. And for us to see him grow in the church and for us to do kingdom together, us three, we are a small family, but we are a tight little family. And for us to do church together, and not just feeling, you know, that we have to drag him to church, but for him to embrace our vision and God's vision and just doing this together. So you must pray that he's going to marry an East London girl one day and he's going to settle here, okay? Please add your prayers to me. No pressure, Vian. Or be like Dion, just come back, okay? You can go, but just come back to the Eastern Cape. But I think for me, I'm just so grateful. You know, I'm grateful for a son who serves Jesus and for the church who's really become home for him. It's not just church. He's found his feet in this community, and it's a main part is because just you guys embracing him and him embracing church. But for me, it's been a tremendous highlight just to do kingdom together with these two men.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay, Vian, so do you enjoy coming to church?
No. I'm joking.
So share with us, growing up in church, like you and Michal, the first two babies in the mother's room, parents' room, how have you experienced growing up in church?
Yeah, I was practically born in this church. I completely grew up in it. And yeah, it was always just part of my lifestyle. Like my dad said, I was never really forced to come, or I never really had the choice to come or not. But it was like part of my lifestyle. It was not like I ever felt like I do not want to come. It was just a normal part. It's not like something you can say no to. You just come and you do it. But
because yeah, we are coming, so we're gonna come to church.
That too. But yes, as I grew up, starting at mother's rooms or starting at kids' church, and then as I grew older, starting to serve at the kids' church. But then the church truly started to feel like family when I actually started to serve at the live stream desk at the back, or playing drums in the main band. That's when it truly started to feel like a family, because just like any home or any family, you truly feel part of it when you serve and you help and you do your part in it. Just like in the church, you truly feel like a member, you truly feel like you're part of it when you do your part and you help and you serve. So
okay,
yes.
Okay, you may sit. Stop. Sit. You can sit. Stop. Don't go past. Come back. You may just sit just right there where you are. Welcome to the kids' church. Let's give them a hand. So yeah, you've served in multiple different areas.
Yes, I have.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, I've just also made the decision that when I'm out of the house or when I have my own family, I'm going to go to church. It's part of your lifestyle as a Christian. When you come to church, it convicts you of your lifestyle and it changes how you live. And it's truly where you grow in community and where the family gathers.
Yeah, so yes. Amen.
And just to mention, this is my own script. I was not forced to say this.
Good preaching. Good preaching. I'm like, wow, you've been discipled well. It's amazing. Okay, any other highlights that you've experienced over the years?
Yeah, I would easily say that going to youth was probably my highlight the last few years, because it's just truly a place where you get around with other people the same age as you, who are also in the same phase of life, or just also seeking God or on fire for Jesus. And also it was just a place where I started to learn to play, well, also where I started to play drums, music publicly before I started in the main band. If it wasn't for the youth, then it would have taken me longer before I played in the main band. Yeah. So it just helped me so much. And yes, just a youth camp that also is just so special, getting all weekend with other people.
Yeah.
It's always just so special, and yeah, I'm very thankful. There's still 3 years to go before I have to go.
Yeah, we're counting it. But they have such a beautiful community amongst the youth, and we're very proud of you. Let's give them a hand. Well done. Right, so last quick interview before we're going to do a family photo video thing with everybody to celebrate. So JP and Hannah. So Jean-Pierre is assistant pastor of the church, for those who don't know. And Hannah is his lovely wife. So JP, I mean, you've been with us since 2009, basically from the start. So what drew you to the church?
Andre, I think up until that point in my life, I'd seen a Christian way of life that was kind of split 50%. Some of the people were just really dull and boring and kind of just sticks in the mud. You know those Christians. And I was never kind of attracted to that. I thought there must be something more. But the other 50% who were kind of had a little bit of life in them were compromising on one level or another. But when I came into Shofar, I just all of a sudden met different people. These people I could see, they were Christian, but they were living something different, and something I'd always thought, this is actually the way a Christian should live. And there was something beautiful about it, something very, very attractive. And I remember two of our members here invited their parents to a healing service. And it was foreign to them, our church, as it was to me. And this thing that they said, the father's summary of our church service is really what I feel too, what I felt in those early days. He said in summary that the service was strange but touching.
Strange but touching.
And his wife was healed in that service, so there was certainly some touching happening. But yeah, for me that was that was it. I came from also a very traditional church background, and Shofar was strange, but it was touching. There was something in the way the people were living that was truly attractive, and God just drew me in through the authenticity.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so I mean, JP, you've been through challenges over the years, and what has been special to you about community and doing life together?
Andre, I think for each of us, we're always looking for a place to belong. At school, we try and do well at sports or well academically. We just want people to love us, to accept us for who we are. And I think I was searching for that too, as many of us are. And when I arrived at Shofar, I began to find that. I began to find a place where I grew into who God meant me to be. I started to see things happening around me as I got plugged in at Shofar. So it was just a beautiful thing. And we speak often about church being family, which I know is kind of a cliche term, and often we don't feel it. But family is never a perfect thing. It's a very imperfect thing. You get together with your family and you've got that one weird cousin and the drunk uncle, but ultimately family is always there for you. When things hit rock bottom, they drop what they're doing and they come to your side. And as many of you will know that 6 years ago, my first wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and 3 years later, she passed away. And you guys were there. You know, you were part of it. You saw it happen. You rallied alongside me, and I truly felt that I was part of a family. I was loved. I was supported. You loved my girls, You know, through that, you've been part of a journey, and it's just had a beautiful end. You've seen the story develop. Hannah's now in my life, and you loved and accepted her and welcomed her. For me, it's really, really special to be part of a community where I can walk in and I probably know, 200 people's names in this room who I can greet and I can have a quick chat with. And that's what's special for me. You know, I never found that. You can't find that anywhere else, but in a church community like this. So yeah, I want to honor you guys too, just for the role that you've played in me becoming who I am, and just being being the heart of God to me and to my family.
Oh, that's beautiful. Community is special, eh? Community is special. So Hannah, I mean, you come from a bit more of a conservative church background. So I'm sure we're coming to Shofar, it was strange, but touching. But give us a bit of an idea of your first impressions of coming to Shofar.
So as Andre said, definitely my background was more conservative. And I was very skeptical of things of the Spirit. So I remember I had only been here for a couple of weeks. And then Andre says, now we're all going to prophesy. And I thought, I need to get out of here because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And before I could get out of here, Aranette caught me and she prophesied over me. And I still remember afterwards, I was still skeptical and I thought, I don't know. I'm not sure about this. And then from the opposite side of the room, Sonika came over. And to me, this was significant because there was no ways she could hear what Aranette had said. But it completely linked and it confirmed what Aranette had said. And to this day, I hold on to that prophecy and it encourages me. And I knew in that moment that prophecy is true. And then once you start believing in things of the Spirit like prophecy, you start to think to yourself, well, then maybe everything else is true too. And it's just a wonderful space to be in. It's exciting. And it really encourages the person to grow.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so what has changed in your life, like your lifestyle, your way of walking with God?
So definitely the fear of man has been broken. I know that there's still a journey to that, but something that happened before I came to Shofar is I always wanted to be able to lift my hands and jive a little bit in church. Andre's good at that.
We're the jiving church. Come on, yes. Freed up.
And I was always so concerned about what everybody else thought about me and how I looked and if I looked silly or not. And after being here, there's just been so much freedom in letting go. I raise my hands, I jive a little bit, and maybe I do look stupid, but it's okay because it's for God. And then the other major way is just in terms of my thinking, Shofar has taught me to really unpack what we are saying to ourselves. And when I started to do that, it was quite scary, just the negative things I'd been saying to myself, the lies that I've believed over the years. And once I realized that, then I also started this journey of speaking life to myself and seeing myself as God sees me. And once you're in that space, just the joy and the peace that comes with that too is, phenomenal. So I'm so thankful to be here. I'm so grateful.
Amen. God is working. Give them a hand. Thank you so much. Doing the kingdom together is wonderful. We're getting hugs here today. Yes, a lot of love. And so we want to also just quickly before we're going to end off, we want to honor every person. If you've ever served in any area of church over the 15 plus years, I want you to quickly stand. If you've served in any capacity, you've helped out anywhere, then I'll quickly stand. We want to bless you and honor you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give them a hand. Give one another a hand. Yes. Thank you so much. We release the blessing of God over you. It takes an army to make this church happen. So, Just want to pray for us. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for each one who has sown into the church, who has served, given time and talents and treasure. God, we honor them, Lord. And I thank you for your massive blessing and reward over each one in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.